This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Have you ever wondered why we eat to soothe our emotions or to reward ourselves or even to try to quell that stress that we're feeling? Or how about, do we eat because we want to fill a void in our life, perhaps a void of being lonely? Well, that was an interesting topic for me, and one that I thought certainly was a great thing to start the New Year's with. But I started, when I looked into why we eat, emotionally eat, what I found is that we emotionally eat because somewhere along the line, we've either been taught or we've learned from just observation that eating really can soothe that part of us that is somehow lacking. We're taught that food, specifically comfort food, and comfort food can sometimes even be what we consider healthy food, but that comfort food really fills in the gaps that we're feeling in our lives. And basically what it does is that we're taught that really eating and emotional eating really feeds that lack of self-worth and self-esteem. So that's the topic of the show today. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic is, what's eating at you? And I ask that question specifically because that really is, as I found as a medical intuitive, the true essence of what causes us to emotionally eat. So again, New Year's resolution, we always make resolutions at the beginning of the year to either gain control of our life or to change what isn't working or to clean up the clutter. In our house, I know I've certainly been cleaning those closets and cleaning up the clutter and cleaning out those drawers, getting ready for the new year. But we also find that the beginning of a year, we really make a resolution around losing those pounds that just seem to slowly take up residency in the body, and they just build upon themselves until they reach a point where we feel like we're overburdened with carrying this extra weight. And so all that in mind, I thought, well, what a better way than to start the new year and shed a different kind of perspective of weight gain, and then also what limits us in being able, or even sabotages us in being able to lose the weight that we really are setting the intention that we want to do. So I thought, great way to start. So I'm going to be sharing some of the hidden psychological meanings behind why we put those pounds on. And then also, when we go through the diets and the different lifestyle changes that we make in order to shed those pounds, why they're still so difficult for us to get rid of. And that's where I have found as a medical intuitive, we really get into that psychological component of weight loss. And while the mind may say, okay, let's lose weight, the body may say, let's lose weight, emotionally, we're not engaged to the point where we can actually let go of a lot of those deep psychological, emotional, hidden contributors that caused us to gain weight in the first place. So throughout the show, I'm going to be discussing about emotional eating and then also defining the differences between emotional eating and eating because we're hungry. Also talking about how we eat, when we eat, the quantities we eat, and what we eat really reveals how we're being emotionally eaten up and how those emotions, whether they're top of our mind, meaning that we're consciously aware of them, or they're deeply hidden in the human psyche, that what they're doing is they're really driving our need for food. And then in the second segment, what I'm going to be doing is offering suggestions on what you can do, and I know I can do, and a lot of people, as I've been talking to people in the last couple of months, what we can do to really change some of those emotional eating patterns that we've learned through observation, or we've actually been taught. The first relationship we have with food really begins as a baby. Now, a lot of us can't go back and remember those first few days that we have when we're, you know, come when right after we're born. But what we can find is if we look back into our childhood, we're going to start to find a lot of the roots of our emotional eating patterns back at that point in time. Perhaps you were in a situation where food was very, very scarce, and in that scarcity, then what you did is that you would tend to overeat, you would tend to overeat because of the fact that you just didn't know when you were going to get your next meal. And that can come anywhere from when you're a baby, and whether you're nursing or you're on formula. And then, of course, if we're on formula, formula tends to be very heavy with sugar, and it's certainly being cleaned up as it's becoming more contemporary. But a lot of the way that our body metabolizes and uses food really starts right then. And then also, when if you were in a large family or a family that were overeaters, then food could have been a real competitive event where you would sit down, and it was a competitive event to be able to really look at your how much food you're going to have to sustain yourself. And what you heard me do right at that moment is drift a little bit, because my son-in-law came to mind from the standpoint that food, number one, was scarce, meaning that they really didn't have the three meals a day, and they didn't have snacks and everything. But when it came to the eating process and dinner was very, it was fast food. And he would tell me, he would say, "Mom, when we would sit down and have dinner and have hamburgers, we would have 30 McDonald's hamburgers sitting on the center of our table." And it was my sister, myself, my mom, and my dad, all of us overeaters. And because we didn't have the consistency of being able to eat on a regular basis, dinner was, he said to me, it's like a feeding frenzy. And what that meant is that the process was, is eat as many hamburgers as you could, as quickly as you could, to be able to not only fill your stomach, but to be sure that you would have enough food inside to be able to carry you over until the next meal, when again, not knowing when that meal was going to be. Now, that sounds really dramatic, but the reality of it is it's something that we really have going on in many parts of the United States, and certainly have world hunger. And so there's a tendency for people to just have that mindset that's based on the scarcity. And so when I think about that, and I think about a lot of the emotional eating habits that we have, really come in and start at those very early and formidable years, those years where there's a lot of emotional charge, and there's nothing worse than being hungry. And one of the things that we have also in the United States, that as affluent as we are as a country, and as much abundancy we still have children that are going hungry. And is it because their parents are spending money other ways? No, it's just as part of the economic situation. And food is important, but sometimes there isn't the money for food because it's preempted for rent and it's preempted for utilities and things. Now, all of those things aren't excuses for why we eat, but they are an integral part of what causes us to really become engaged in that emotional eating, and then to be able to sustain those emotional eating patterns, even when, again, I say they're not at the top of the mind. So it's going to be a very interesting show, and I hope that I can shed a different light on why emotionally eat. I'm also going to be taking your calls today and sharing my medical intuitive skills. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you'd like to talk to me about today's topic on emotional eating, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and then international callers, dial your calling code, and then 877, again, 230-3062. I look forward to taking your calls. The lines are open, so if you'd like to give me a call now at 877-230-3062, it'd be wonderful. I'd love to talk to you. I also would like to invite you to join me for my January 31st telegathering. That is a launch of a brand new process I'm beginning in 2012, and the telegathering is different than my teleclasses from the standpoint that it's going to be really topic specific. It's 90 minutes instead of 60 minutes, and the topic that I've got going for January 31st is the ABCs of Surefire and Lasting Weight Loss. Now, in this particular telegathering, joining me is going to be Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. I've actually had her as a guest on my show several times. She's a world-renowned natural living expert, the author of over 2,000 magazines, articles, and then also 27 books on health and healing and using healing foods to be able to lose weight, to add the vitality back into our life, and to restore our life in the pattern in which we would like it to be. And one of those things is that Susan talks about in her different books is how we can overcome the emotional eating. I'm also going to be involved in the telegathering as a co-host, but also a participant, and I'm going to be sharing my medical intuitive's perspectives on why we become overweight and that connection between weight and self-esteem. And as I'm doing in the show today, but in a lot more depth, I'm going to be talking about a lot of the hidden contributors behind weight gain. Also, as a bonus for attending the telegathering, Susan's going to be offering her free ebook, Living on the Lighter Side, Dr. Susan's Premier Secrets to Accelerated Fat Loss. And then I'm also going to be offering a free PDF download on overweight and health, understanding the effects of beliefs, emotions, and how our thoughts really impact the way that we carry weight, where we put weight on, and then how it really can sabotage us in the process of trying to lose those weights. The telegathering, the cost to attend is $11.95. And if you'd like more information or to register, you can go to my website at www.ritberger.com. Click on the telegathering under the What's New section on the homepage, and then what it'll do is it will give you the opportunity to register. And again, for registering and participating, the actual download of the, you will be able to listen to the telegathering, and then also you'll be able to get the free gifts that are being offered. The telegathering is something that's done on the phone, so you can actually attend it in the comfort of your home and in the at your office. So again, www.ritberger.com. Well, let me begin by explaining that the definition of emotional eating. Emotional eating is any time that you reach for food when you're not physically hungry or actually needing nutrition. A lot of times if you are not inclined to eat breakfast about 11 o'clock, your brain isn't going to function as properly. So what you're going to do is you're going to be hungry. The hunger trigger is going to be set off, and you're going to go and you're going to want to feed that brain so it can function properly. That's really what I'm talking about needing nutrition. But when we go in and we emotionally eat, basically what we're doing is we're eating because it has nothing to do with really the body's need for food. Emotional eating is when we turn to food and or sugar because we're bored, tense, angry, sad, or depressed. Emotional eating will always have either top of the mind, meaning consciously aware of, or under the deep hidden aspects, the psychological aspects, is that we're really feeling an emotion that we may not be mindful of, but an emotion that's really driving a lot of what we're feeling deep down inside. And then boredom is something that we tend to do. We just reach for food when we get to the place where we're bored. And again, tense comes right back to stress. We've all experienced emotional eating to one degree or another, so that's part of the reality of where we are. For example, that nibble of chocolate or that extra helping of our favorite comfort food when we're hungry, or even that extra cookie because it tastes good. So what we look at is we look at why we eat, when we eat, and what we eat, and then the hidden psychological components of boredom, tension, or then emotions. Now we know that we're really emotionally eating. And the one thing that I always share when I'm working with people with being overweight is there's going to be natural cycles in a 30-day cycle where we have hormone changes, both male and female. And those hormone changes, we're going to have our days where we're either full of vim, vigor, and vitality, we're mentally engaged, and days that we're going to be less inclined to be as engaged, or maybe we're just not feeling on the top of our game. In those particular times, we're going to naturally go more to that emotional eating pattern that we have. So in this process, as we're looking at it, is please know that the emotional eating has a lot to do with what's going on in the body even though, again, we may not be aware of that. So the most important thing I always say is that we're going to emotionally eat. We're going to emotionally eat one, two, three times over the course of a 30-day period of time. The thing that really fosters and perpetuates the emotional eating is when we start feeling guilty for eating, and then we feel bad about ourselves because we don't have the willpower, and then that feeds more guilt, and it becomes an insidious cycle. And then what we do is we find out here we are gaining weight. When we emotionally eat, it's because there's something disruptive that's going on in our life, and that what we're eating is we're eating to be able to really help us either have energy. That's why we pull for, you know, reach for sugar, because we want that instant quick fix. But what it does is it throws the metabolism, the chemistry of the body off. And then if we continue that process, now that becomes emotional eating, because we're feeling like we won't feel right, or we won't be engaged or emotionally feeling good if we don't eat. So the reality of it is that food really does make us feel good. It's grounding. It's also very social when we eat, when we're eating with other people. It fills up a lot of empty time we have. It's very nurturing. It's a very supportive activity, meaning that it feeds a lot of our need to be needed when we cook for other people. Maybe it's food that we don't normally would be chosen to eat or be inclined to eat. But what will happen is that we find ourselves fixing meals for other people and then eating foods that maybe our body really isn't inclined to and digest the way it needs to. And so eating fills a need of taking care of other people. So we have to think about that component as well. There tends to be a common emotional focus on emotional eaters, and that is that they tend to be disconnected from their emotions. Now, that seems like kind of a contradiction, doesn't it? If we emotionally eat, then the implication and the suggestion is that we're really engaged with ourselves emotionally. The reality of it is that we really aren't emotionally engaged, meaning that we may not, when we go to reach for that little piece of chocolate or that extra cookie, we may not be saying to ourselves, oh, I'm going to have that cookie because right now I'm sad. But that sadness could be very, very deep within us, and as a result, we reach for that cookie. And what I'm saying is that sometimes we reach for that cookie and we're not even aware that we're feeling deeper emotions. So the best way to find out whether emotions are driving what we're eating is to pay attention, to pay attention to the food that we're eating and why we're eating. For example, if you say to yourself, I eat because I can't find anything to be excited about, what this is doing is it's telling you that you're bored and that something in your life is missing, such as passion, excitement, and even happiness. Or maybe you say that you love someone and you have to cook for them and they only like meat and potatoes and all those good starchy foods and so forth. So what you do is you actually cook and eat to be able to feed a need to be able to take care of people. Another one is that I should stop eating, but I can't because I should stop and eat, but I can't because I'm so busy. And what this is doing is it's actually telling you that you're in an overwhelm mode and that you're disconnected from your emotions because you're in your head, you've got too many tasks, that endless task list continues on and everything. And also what that form of emotional eating says is it's revealing that you're frustrated, maybe that you're resentful, that you're fed up, and you're tired of really putting up with all of it. So again, look at it differently. I'm going to continue talking about this in the next segment, but I want to jump in right now. Hi, Mona. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
You are most welcome. How can I help you?
Well, in the last month, I have put on 15 to 20 pounds.
All right.
And I'm thinking of leaving my husband, and I don't know whether mm-hmm. that's actually it or not. I've had thyroid trouble before, and I'm at a loss. It seems like I can't lose it. Of course, it always comes on faster than you can take it off. But
yeah. So let's go in. I'm going to do this from several different ways. Putting weight on that quickly is, while there's psychological components to it. And certainly considering leaving a relationship is going to put you in a protective mode. So psychologically, a lot of the sudden weight that we put on has to do with protection mode. But knowing that you have a history of thyroid background, when we put that amount of weight on that quickly, it's saying, sweetie, that something in your body is not functioning properly.
Okay.
And so my sense is when I'm touching your energy, we've got a thyroid that is really out of balance again. It felt like it was kind of loping along and doing what it needed to. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really being highs or lows. It just felt like it was kind of a flat line. And then as you, it feels like you had a hormone change. Something shifted about the mid-September hormonally with you. It feels like your sleep cycles changed. That had to do with thyroid. But it feels like at that point in time, some of the emotional stuff that I'm picking up, but some of the chemistry changes in your body was probably due to stress at that time. And it went in, it kind of like you hit your thyroid with a baseball bat, and it just threw everything into chaos.
Okay.
So one of the things that I encourage you to do is to go in and to revisit the doctor, have a thyroid test taken, go in. You feel like your antibodies are very high, sweetie. That lets me know that there may be a predisposition for a different form of thyroid that you've been having before that was more tied to the hormones and the genetics. This feels like it's actually got an autoimmune imbalance to it. It has some of the energy of Hashimoto's to it, but it feels like your immune system suddenly, which it appeared suddenly, probably over the course of time with the stress, probably went in and started attacking the thyroid, and as a result, the antibody count is elevated, and what's going to happen is your thyroid is not going to function properly. So having said that, we need a thyroid test. The second thing is I would encourage you to talk to the physician about the potential for Hashimoto's and be sure that it's tested properly. The next thing is that to look at what you can do in thyroid medication. If this is a different trigger for the thyroid, it might require a different medication, and it might require an elevated dosage until you can get your thyroid back where it is. That's the first thing I pick up, is this literally is a physical anomaly that's happening in your body that needs to be addressed for the weight to be able to come off, no matter how much you diet or shed or cleared closets or anything that I've psychologically talked about. This is going to be something that physically has to be dealt with.
Okay.
The second thing is that you are in protection. I mean, my goodness, you don't have to be a medical intuitive to know that. So when you are in protection and you're looking at these major lifestyle changes that you're considering, then what you're going to do is your body is naturally going to respond by increasing the amount of water that's held in your fat cells. You're going to have an increase of a corticosteroid, stress steroid, that clones itself as estrogen. That could throw the hormones off. And then also what you're going to do is your body is going to crave glucose. And that glucose can come in forms of even really good foods. We can look at green beans. They're, we think, well, gosh, that's a vegetable. It's a very, very healthy vegetable. Parsnips, very healthy vegetable. Carrots, very healthy vegetable. But all of those are very high in a natural glucose that when your body is in its state, it's going to hold on to that glucose. So when you get into a place where you really need the energy, you're going to be set up to have that energy, and those fat cells are going to be able to respond by giving you the energy you need. So there's where protection comes in, tied to stress. The other thing is that I'm picking up is that this decision to leave the relationship is already made. I can feel inside of you, it's more of a timing issue, it feels to me, than anything else. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So in this particular case, I'm going to say something lovingly, but I need to say it. Sweetie, if you don't take control of when you end this relationship will continue to eat at you to the point where you'll put weight on.
I agree. And
so,
that's what I was afraid of was happening.
Yes. So what I would suggest to you is that the mind doesn't know whether things are real or imagined. All it does is act on things. I would like you to sit down and look at a calendar and literally look at when you are going to be in a position, you in a position to move out of the relationship. And I'm not talking about taking it to the next step. I'm talking about ending it. And then what you do is you put that on a piece of paper, you put that piece of paper underneath your pillow, you wake up the next morning, and if you can't breathe, then you need to change the date. If you can breathe and you're looking forward to it, there's your marching plans.
Okay.
And that's going to help you. The thing with the relationship is that, very honestly, it feels to me that he doesn't believe that you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Okay.
And this seems to be a pattern, and he seems to be comfortable in this pattern. And it's like, well, this has come up in other ways before. It's going to blow over. Mm-hmm. You and I know that it isn't. So if you take control of it, then what you'll do is your mind will start working in that direction, and then you'll start losing your weight as well. So that's the psychological part of it. You know, the real issue is, sweetie, is he's, you know, I need to say that he's not a bad person. He's not an abusive person. He's just the wrong person for you. You've outgrown him.
I agree.
And so from this perspective, if you see it that way, then it'll make it easier for your personality and for you to be able to step out of the relationship. Instead of being a victim and him being in control, you're in control. And then you'll be able to keep that sense of confidence, that sense of self-esteem. And most importantly, you'll be able to keep your self-respect. And then who knows where the relationship will be once the you actually move out. That is going to be important, that you remove yourself from the situation. And then who knows where it's going to go, but then it's going to be a clean slate, and then you'll be in a position where you can look at it differently.
Okay.
The other thing is, you are going to move. We know that it's a major move. That's going to be very, very important for you to set yourself up. So it feels like you're still questioning where you want to move to. That would probably be one of the first things that I would encourage you to decide. Where do you really want to go? What does that area offer to you? Is there like-mindedness, people that share a lot of the common philosophies and interests you have? All of those things, the spiritual part of you is so prevalent in your field. And part of the separation from your relationship is that lack of spiritual connection. So wherever you go, that's got to be very strong, because that's going to be your lifeline.
Absolutely.
So as you're going in and moving in those directions, those are some things for you to think about. But I would just probably, I'd put it on a calendar, put it under my pillow, and if I can't wake up the next morning, I look at that piece of paper and I can't breathe, I probably would need to go back in and revisit that date.
And move it back, move it further out?
You know what? Try it. Move it closer in and then sleep on it, and then move it out and sleep on it if closer in doesn't feel right. But what we do, your soul just said, now, wait a minute, Carol, let's jump in here real quick. So let's hypothetically say that your deadline date for you is April 1st. I don't know why April Fool's Day came up about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you're thinking. So April 1st, and you sleep on it, you go, you know, I think I need it to come in and be closer. Well, then go March 31st. Okay. Or, you know, I think that it needs to be a little bit later, then go April 2nd. Because okay. What that'll do is it keeps the momentum of your decision going, but it doesn't buffer and put so much time in that you'll lose your focus. Because part of the issue that you're dealing with is, it feels like, sweetie, the emotional rug keeps getting pulled out of you. There's good days, there's bad days. Mm-hmm. On the bad days, I feel you laying on the floor and going, OMG, what just happened? The good days are, you know, I can probably put up with this another 30 days. That's not a healthy place for you.
Right.
So.
I agree.
But remember, sweetie, you are in control. The one thing
How would you like to learn the hidden...
Don't want to pre-announce it. Because when you pre-announce it, then you're going to be bound by it, and you're not going to be in control of it.
Okay.
So that's the plan of action. That's going to help you with the psychological part of it. It'll help you with the stress. It'll help those fat cells let go of what they need to. But going back, we need to really look at this as quickly as it's come on from a physical standpoint. Dot the I's, cross the T's, and check off to be sure that, again, it's just a, you know, that the... The thyroid thing needs to be addressed differently.
Okay.
Gosh, you were beautiful. Yes, go ahead, sweet.
Could the thyroid cause me to want to chew on ice?
Yes, it could, surprisingly enough. It isn't really where the thyroid is saying to you, you need to go get ice and put it in your mouth. But what it can do is, because it is so energetically and physically connected with the pancreas that's tied to serotonin, serotonin has a lot to do with mood swings. It has to do with the foods that we eat, but it also has to do with body temperature. So it may very well be that we have hormones, we have neurotransmitters such as serotonin that is actually causing your body to feel hot inside, and then what the ice is doing is it's trying to cool you down. It may be another form of your body also letting you know you need to hydrate. Maybe you need to chew on something. That's a metaphor that I get around eating and around chewing on ice and so forth. Maybe there's something you need to chew on. Maybe that's the date. Something for you to think about. Yeah. So lots of things.
Okay.
So we've got multiple things going. That's why it can get confusing.
Okay. Yes.
Good.
And that's how I feel most days, is confused.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, touching your energy, I can understand that. Because like I said, some days it's like I can pick you, see you on the floor and going, so Mona, are you okay, honey? And you lay there and you go, I think so, Carol. And then other days it's like, you know, I can just put up with this a little longer, and that just creates confusion.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Light and love to you. All right. I'm going to be right back to talk a little bit more about emotional eating and why we use food to be able to address what's eating at us. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining me, today's topic is what's eating you? And I've been talking about why we use food to soothe ourselves emotionally. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me today about your health, or you would like to talk about the topic of being overweight or eating, then what I ask you to do is just to call me. And what you can do is you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada and international callers. You can also use the number 877-230-3062. All that I'm asking is that you dial your international calling code before you call me. So again, lines are open. I'm looking forward to talking to you. I'd also like to invite you to join me on January 26, 2012. I'm going to be offering my Your Health free teleclass at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic for January is herpes viruses. And what I've found in the research and talking to different people is that herpes virus is a common culprit responsible for illnesses such as Epstein-Barr. I've received many emails on what people can do to be able to quell the environment that allows the Epstein-Barr virus, which is a part of the herpes family, to be able to come in and become active. It's also responsible for lupus, genital herpes. There's also a connection between Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Bell's palsy, cancer, and even coronary heart disease. The teleclass is free again. It's 60 minutes in length, and I'm going to be really talking not only about the clinical aspect of herpes virus, but I'm also going to be talking about how stress management, lifestyle changes, dietary changes, emotional release work can really help being able to heal the herpes virus. And I'm going to be sharing the life pattern of a herpes virus, and it's absolutely like listening and to a sci-fi film or watching it, from the way that herpes virus is really able to sustain itself even though it isn't a living organism. So I'm going to be sharing that herpes is really more parasite in its nature than it is bacterial in nature. And then again, as a medical intuitive, I'm going to be sharing what the hidden meanings are behind herpes, also looking, sharing what it looks like in the energy body, which chakras are involved, and the role that your personality plays in increasing the susceptibility to developing herpes. Then what I do following the teleclass is I usually spend 30 minutes extra on the line, and I'm going to be answering as many questions from the participants as time permits. So again, please, it's called Your Health Teleclass. Topic for January is herpes. It is free. If you're on the call, the date again is January 26, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Standard Time. You can actually register on my website at www.ritberger.com. Also, when you're on the site, in order to sign up for the Your Health Teleclass, also if you'd like to receive my annual channelings that I do, that I begin each year, the channeling for the year 2012 is going to be on the year of abundance. I've asked a lot of my listeners and friends to go on my homepage on my website and actually submit a question that you have that you would like me to go and ask Toth and the council about abundance and get their perspective. I found that it's very interesting, the questions that I've received, the answers that they've shared, and my desire and their desire is it's going to help change the perception we have abundance and be able to assist us in being able to manifest the abundance we desire in the year of 2012 and beyond, and not only in only one aspect of our life, but in other aspects of our life as well. So if you're not in my database, unfortunately, you won't be able to receive the channeling itself, because that's where it goes to. So if you're not in the database when you're on my homepage, just please sign up for the newsletter. That information will then go into my email database, and then as soon as I get the channeling out, I will then share that with you via an email. Also, what I found is when I open this up, as I was requested to do by the guides, it says, ask people what their perception of abundance is. I have actually received over 200 questions at this point in time. And so as a result, I'm not going to be able to include all of those questions and answers in the actual channeling email that I'm going to send you. So I'm going to take that information and then going to be offering it in an ebook form. Format in late spring. So again, if you have a question, go on my website, www.ritberger.com. If you'd like to sign up for the telegathering, which is January 31st, the ABCs of Surefire and Weight Loss, you can sign up for that. And then also my Your Free Teleclass. Here's some suggestions on how you can actually change emotional eating patterns. And when we go back to just kind of reiterate what I was talking about, in emotional eating, a lot of times we'll eat when we actually are feeling helpless, hopeless. Maybe we're feeling sad. Maybe we're frustrated. We're full of resentment. We tend to eat more when we're angry. Whether that anger is on the top of our mind, meaning that we're feeling it and consciously aware of it, or buried deep within. Anger actually uses up a lot of energy to be able to sustain it. And what it does is it makes us sour on ourselves, sour on life. It actually impacts our attitudes. So when we're going in and looking at emotional eating and the psychological components, we really need to go in and look at the emotions. So one of the things that you can do is to take action. And what that means is to really kind of get out from under your emotions. and do something other than eating. If you're feeling stressed, frustrated, or angry, try to do something that's active, such as changing, taking a brisk walk or a run around the block or dance or get up and move or wherever you are and whatever you're feeling. Just a change of scenery is going to be able to help with that. Not only does that help us out of that emotional state we're in, where we now have a natural tendency to pull for food, to reach for food, but then what we do is we actually increase the metabolism of the body and we burn up that excess glucose and fat that we're carrying around that causes us to be overweight. If you're feeling sad, lonely, or unhappy, do something that's nurturing for yourself, such as soaking in a tub or yoga. Yoga is a phenomenal mindful process to teach us how to be able to get engaged with ourselves at an emotional, psychological level in a very positive, energetic way. And then also go outside or go and sit on a bench in a park or something. It's very difficult to be sad, frustrated, angry, and unhappy if we're out in nature. The other thing that we can do to deal with emotional eating is take a breather. Deep breathing really does relieve the urge to eat. It sounds simple, and a lot of times we don't think about it, especially when we're stressed and we're holding our breath. But what we do is when we sit down and we take a deep breath, breathing in through our nose and then exhaling through our mouth, what it does is it relaxes the mind and it says nowhere to go, nothing to do, puts it in that peaceful place. It relaxes the body. So what it does is it lessens those stressful emotions that are causing us to, again, reach for food. So, and then the other thing is shift your focus. Focus on something outside of yourself rather than eating. Look outside the window. I call it the 20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, stand up, look around 20 feet from where you are looking at that time. I know I spend a lot of time on the computer, and I've got a little egg timer because I forget this myself. And every 20 minutes, that egg timer goes off, and I stand up, and I look out the window 20 feet beyond where I am sitting in the computer, different direction. And it's interesting how that can really shift our perception, and it can free up a lot of that mental angst or that confusion or that focus that we have on being able to get on that task list and change something very positively, differently. Change something that we're paying attention to, and then also notice things. One of the best ways to be able to really, simple again, to change emotional patterns is to basically just change the way that you're seeing things. And look at things such as clouds, or look at things such as a flower's face, or look at things of the trees, or again, going out with the sun and looking at the sun, and not directly into it, but the sun and how it changes everything. So that's really things that we can do. Very simple. They don't cost a lot of money. They don't take a lot of time. But what those simple things do is they actually come in and change the way that we look at eating and when we eat and what we grab for. One of the things that I also share as a medical intuitive is really pay attention to where you're carrying the extra weight, both male and female. What I found as a medical intuitive, if you're carrying that weight in your face and in your neck, it's saying to you there's something that you need to say. Maybe you need to say it to someone else. Maybe you need to say it to yourself. But what is happening is that you're holding, you're protecting, you're kind of cat's got your tongue, or different metaphors that I use as a medical intuitive. So you can look at where you're gaining your weight in that particular case. If you're tending to gain weight in the chest area and the breast area in females, maybe what you're doing is you're protecting yourself again about being emotionally hurt. Maybe you're feeling inadequate about being not being loved. Maybe you're suffering from low self-esteem because you're not sure of a direction that you want to go, or maybe you're lacking confidence that shows up in the belly area, or maybe you're experiencing self-worth issues or low self-worth. All of those things map in the body differently. Love maps and relationships with yourself and with others maps in your chest area. How you feel about yourself maps in your belly, your upper digestive area, the confidence, feeling inspired and hopeful. Again, gets over that helplessness feeling. Also, a lot of the emotional eating we do is because self-worth is tied to other people in our lives. Self-esteem is something we give ourselves and we take away ourselves. Self-worth is what other people give us and what other people take away from us. So we can really look at those metaphors. For example, if you carry weight in your hips or in your thighs, perhaps what you're doing is psychologically feeling stuck. Maybe you're afraid to move forward and to take those steps. And maybe you're sitting on your bottom too much and not moving forward, or sitting at the computer too much, and you just need to get up and you need to create a momentum of movement and action. So again, simple things that we can do by merely taking action, breathing, and then shifting our focus, but then also letting our body really tell us what we can do to be able to help ourselves change this pattern that we have around emotional eating. Most importantly, we all emotionally eat. Even if food is scarce, we still emotionally eat. If food is abundant, we still emotionally eat. So as you're looking at, again, going back and reiterating, when you eat from the standpoint that you're not physically hungry, then what you're doing is emotional eating. Take a deep breath, change the scenery, get up from where you are, get out of that energetic space that you're in, find a different space, look at it from a different perspective, change your focus, and then what you're going to do is you're going to find that you really, really are going to lose the weight that you're looking to lose and wanting to lose. But even more importantly, I have found as a medical intuitive, is that we can deal with weight loss, certainly on a physical level. And that is part of the process. Calories in, calories out. More movement, the more calories we burn, and then the more weight that we drop. But as you heard when I was talking to the first caller, sometimes we have chemical changes in our body that need to be addressed as well. So we can do the physical part. We're conditioned to that. We know when we're putting that weight on. And in the case of my first caller, when we are putting it on very, very quickly. Emotional eating tends to, true emotional eating as we think of it, to soothe ourselves, tends to be that weight that we gain slowly over months and years period of time until it reaches a point where it becomes so burdensome, so uncomfortable. We can't have the freedom of movement. It's hard to tie our shoes or hard to be able to, you know, get up out of a chair, and we just feel like we're carrying this really dead weight around us. And that metaphor of dead weight in my world as a medical intuitive is really going in and saying that dead is representative of hanging on to something that no longer is serving you well, no longer needs to be there for you to be able to carry that weight. Let's go in, change things, shift focus, clean closets, do the things we can to lose the weight. But more importantly, let's go in and perhaps look at what emotion seems to bubble to the surface so quickly that could cause us to be feeling poorly about ourselves and as a result feeling poorly in our body. The emotion of anger is a wonderful tool from an emotional standpoint, because when we experience anger, what it's doing is it's letting us know that we've invested a lot of time and energy and focus on something that isn't serving us well. Anger doesn't come up because we're doing what we're wanting to do or that passion and desire. Anger comes up because we're doing things that we ought to do, we should do, we could do, but they aren't necessarily the things that we really, really want or desire to do. So when you experience anger, what your body is doing is it's bringing it to the surface, and then it's bringing in that emotional aspect that you've got a lot of time and energy invested in whatever you're thinking and doing. So change it. Now, we can radically change it, and it'd be like resolution that you're going to lose 40 pounds in the first month. That's probably, honestly, not going to happen. But what you can do is say, you know what, I'm going to let go of that anger in this area over a period of time, and every day I'm going to think about that, and every day I'm going to move toward that goal. That works as significantly as changing your diet and cutting back on calories. Edgar Cayce said, that anyone that holds angers inside is like taking poison and waiting for themselves to die. Anger, while it may be triggered externally by other people and situations, when we internalize anger, we are basically poisoning ourselves. Anger is a constructive way for us to be able to get out what we're feeling inside, but it's a very healthy, constructive way to look at what we want to do from a weight loss standpoint, getting rid of the things in our life that make us angry. So you can see as a medical intuitive, when I look at anything that's happening in the body, and I share this because I would like to share with you the information so you can shift your perception as well. Because remember, one of the things that you can do for weight loss, emotional weight loss, is to shift your focus. If you have a holistic perspective of what's going on in the body, the fascinating part is that you can deal with any aspects, meaning physically, mentally, emotionally, and even energetically. You can go in and you can work on any of those levels that you feel confident in control of and that you feel like you can actually be able to complete the process or feel confidence in moving forward in that process. And the outcome is that it all shows up in the physical body. So again, read your body. Look at where you're carrying your weight. Look at what you're eating. Look at your boredom. Look at the tension. Look at the stress in your life. Look at anger. Anger is a direct emotion connected to fear. Whenever you fear something, it becomes realized, then you get angry. If you don't deal with it then it becomes sadness. So it's a fascinating concept of how to look at things differently. And that's one of the things that I've learned over the course of time of doing this work is that if we can just shift our focus and shift our perception, then what we're able to do is literally change the way the mind-body works and the way that it seeks healthiness. But we can actually bring our soul's work, our true authentic self, into the process of being able to heal ourselves. I refer to that as spiritual healing, meaning psychologically, spiritually, energetically addressing the needs of the mind and body. Fascinating concept and a wonderful way to shift the process of looking at weight and what's eating you. I hope that if you want to hear more about my perspective on weight loss and then again be get my overweight and health PDF and then join Dr. Susan and I for the telegathering. I hope that you'll go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what you can do is sign up for this 90-minute telegathering. Lots of information, bonus gifts. That'll be a free ebook from Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, and then also my PDF on overweight and health, understanding the effect of emotions, beliefs, and thoughts, and as far as how we gain weight. So again, you can join that and sign up for that on my website. You know, I always find it fascinating from the standpoint of why we get the opportunity to do what we do. For example, on today's show, I've had a lot of wonderful opportunity to share information about how I see things as a medical intuitive. And when I share, like we all do, it gives me a chance to step back and listen to what I'm saying and being able to really look at my own life and say, you know what? It's easy, Carol, for you to share with others, but how can you use this to help yourself? So I thank all of you for your support. I thank all of you for listening and for joining my show. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to be back next week. I'm on every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. That's Pacific Standard Time on www.contacttalkradio. I hope that you're going to be joining me again next week when I have a completely different topic. If you have a suggestion, send it to me. Go to my website and send a suggestion on what you'd like a show. It's been wonderful to spend the time with you. Light and love to you. You have a wonderful week, and I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.